Hello.
Welcome to Women Writing Men. This is episode 30. It's a special episode. It's a man writing a woman and a man.
Technically, the women are always writing men, too.
Yeah, but...
women writing women? I'm a little confused.
Yeah. Yeah, so special episode.
We are reading...
We are reading The Handover by David M. Barrett.
And the goal of our podcast is...
to find the most attractive man in fiction. I'm Delaney. This is Mariah. Welcome aboard.
First we do a summary. Or do we first do first thoughts?
I think we do first thoughts. I liked this. It's weird the differences actually between men writing romances and women writing romances.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like the way the romance is written is very different, in my opinion. What do you think?
Well, I didn't share this with you because I thought it was hilarious, and I was like, I'll wait for the podcast. I knew you were coming over today to film a podcast, and when I woke up this morning, I was like, I have no idea what book we're doing. I was like racking my brain. I'm like, obviously I read a book. What was it? So not only do I have no idea what the characters' names are, said that the book was called The Handover, I did not know that that was the book that we had read. So, first impression, or first thoughts, I didn't remember this book very well. But I did figure it out. I didn't know that the book was called The Handover, but I thought really hard about it today, and I was like, oh, the book about the museum!
Yeah.
Oh gosh, it's so funny how much little, I mean, I've been pretty busy in the last little bit, so that might be why I can't remember. I know, and we'll find out what they were, that I took issue with things.
Hopefully
I wrote them down, because I can remember being like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe... The word that comes to my mind when you think about, when you say that there's a difference in the way the romance is written, is almost as if I feel like this book is more analytical.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how I can describe what that means to me.
Yeah.
But that's the word, when you were saying that popped into my head, that both The Rosie Project and this book are written analytically.
Yeah.
And maybe that... The women writing women, or women writing men, are more written emotionally?
Yeah. Like, I do think there's an emphasis on, like, sort of, like, details that are just, like, not that important. Or something, or they're more, like...
Or another word that, like, they're almost, like, straight to the point to me.
Yeah. Like, they're very, like...
Cut and dry.
Yeah. Something like that. It's, and maybe it's just the ones we're reading. Because we've also read Nicholas Sparks. But even those ones... I don't know. I can't remember Nicholas
I can't
Sparks.
Remember that one so long ago. Season one, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. My thoughts... I enjoyed the book. It was very readable. It wasn't one, like, I really enjoyed.
No.
But...
I also... When I read the book, I thought it was another book. And I was really excited and then got disappointed. Because there's another romance where... There's like a handover element. They're roommates, but they're like bedmates, and she does the night shift and he does the day shift. So they live in the same room, but they never see each other because they're always switching.
Oh.
And they literally have the same bed, but she sleeps in it during the day and he sleeps in it at night. And I was like, oh, we're going to read that book. I've heard about it. And then it wasn't that book.
Oh, that's sad. That sounds really fun. Damn, we got to find that book.
Okay, summary. Well,
yeah, good luck.
Okay, what's her name?
Daisy.
And his name is?
Nate.
Okay, I would have guessed Fred.
So close.
Okay, so the book is about Daisy and Nate. I was going to say Fred. Okay, and they work as security guards at a museum in a country that's not Canada.
I think it's England.
I think it's England, too. But they never work on the same shift. She works the night shift, which is, like, 5 o'clock until, like, 11 o'clock. And he works the day shift, 9 o'clock a.m. to 5 o'clock p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So they only see each other 15 minutes every day. And while then things start disappearing in the museum. Yeah. And so they create a team to try to solve it because their jobs are at stake.
Yeah.
And they fall in love.
Yep. Beautiful. Beautiful description.
I think I did pretty good.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, so her name is Daisy Dukes.
Oh, yeah.
Which I took issue with.
But she took issue with it, too.
Yeah, she was like, that's absurd. She was like,
I can't
name.
Believe my mom named me this.
Yeah. So she takes the job very seriously. Nate is more like happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, she's like, we gotta protect the museum. And he's like, I like to talk to the guests.
Yeah. He's like 6'5", too. Like, he's a massive man.
Yes.
I wrote, she doesn't like people who look happy.
She was just a little bit, like, my first impression of her was, you're just, like, grumpy.
Yeah, she's, like very happy. Serious.
So, like...
I found it somewhat endearing in that I felt like they don't write, like, just grumpy women, it's you know? True. Like, they're not, like, the leading women aren't usually these women that are just like, I take my security job seriously.
That's true. It was a bit of a role reversal, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Typically, you would have expected it.
Especially, like, a character named Daisy Dukes, you're expecting quite a cheerful character. Yes.
And she's not. She's unhappy. And she's like, Nate dresses like a slob and he talks to the guests. How can he know if someone's stealing if he's entertaining them?
Yeah. Yeah. Chapter 2, there was this weird transition where, like, there's this receptionist named Janice that we're introduced to. She's relevant.
Yeah.
And so they talk about how bad Janice's laugh sounds. Mm-hmm. And Daisy's just like, her laugh sounds so bad that it sounds like the telephone back at, like, that I used to have as a kid that rang and my dad told us he was never coming back. And I was like, is this the weirdest insertion of this information?
Like, the weirdest way to get that to the readers.
Like, Janice laughs like a phone. My dad left me.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna just fly through this unless you have things to insert.
You're gonna move on to chapter 3?
Yep. And they're reading a book about mythology.
I just was pointing out some of the things that were important that were happening. The museum is clearly struggling. She didn't seem to know that.
Yeah.
And I was like, girl, first the weekend security guard like left and they didn't replace him.
Yeah.
And then they cut back on cleaning services and they're only going to clean the museum like 3 times a week. And she's like, wow, how are they going to manage that? And I was like, clearly they just can't afford it. And she did not catch it.
Yeah.
She comments to herself that she needs to have system and order and rules because without them, she says, she'll make mistakes and things will go wrong. But, like, this very big emphasis on, like,
things will go very wrong. Yeah.
Which continues to come up in the whole rest of the story.
Yeah.
And the only other question that I wondered was, so every shift she writes, not every shift, every hour of her shift, she writes a handwritten report on what happened in the last hour.
Yeah.
So she gives
the reports, yeah.
The next report, all 8 reports to the next security guard.
Yeah, I think it's like he does 2 a.m. Like,
yeah,
to like,
he does the middle of the night shift.
And he's like an old guy.
He's an old guy. I don't know his, he is important.
I know, I can't remember his
name. I didn't write much about him. I didn't care.
I know, until all of a sudden you're like, wait, shit, he was important.
But anyways, he reads none of the reports. Every day she finds them all in the trash and he like, she knows that she's not reading them. And I was just like, what an interesting, like, why keep writing them? Like, what is the purpose to you?
Some people just feel the need to do their job properly.
But that wasn't even a part of the job. She implemented that when she arrived.
I know, I know it. Like, Nate doesn't do it. He's too busy talking to guests.
Like, it was not a part of the job requirement, but she was like, you know what we need? Hourly reports.
Yeah. Which, like, she clearly has nothing to do, so maybe, I don't know, maybe it makes her feel good.
But why does she give in to him? Because then she just is disappointed when he doesn't
when he throws them away immediately? Yeah.
Just give them to yourself. Make a file.
I know. Anyways. I don't know.
Okay. That's my thoughts on chapter 2.
Chapter 3, she's reading a book at the museum about mythology, and she has, like, a little postcard marked there, and it keeps moving.
Yes.
And so she's like, someone during the day is reading my book.
Did you know the story about Prometheus? I figured you would.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, she's reading in this book about Prometheus, and she says it reminds her of the terrible thing that happened to her when she was 9.
I don't understand.
And I was like, I don't understand the connection. I'm going to ask Delaney about it, because it she knows the story of Prometheus.
It genuinely bothered me that, like, the books in the Greek mythology book, like, the story she was reading, I was like, these seem really irrelevant. Like, they don't...
I thought they were going to be tying into what was happening, but I don't know the stories, so obviously they
weren't. Yeah, I thought they were going to tie into, like, maybe the mystery of what was going on in the museum, but they just didn't.
Okay.
I don't know.
So it was literally just, spoiler alert, because he was also reading the book, and that was the connection.
That was, because Prometheus was just, I don't know, I think the author was just using the stories to allow the characters to do a little bit of introspection, as opposed to making them allegories to what was going on.
I really wanted them to be allegories.
I did too, but they weren't. Like, Prometheus is just like, he takes fire and then he gets his liver.
Oh, that's right. They did describe it later.
Yeah, he gets his liver eaten by eagles.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with the thing that happened when she was 9.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, so chapter 3, she comes home. Daisy has a sister named
Rosie. I did write why she says that it's connected, but it's just connected to her life, not a whole.
That's what I mean. The author was using it.
For her to be like, oh, yeah.
Think about my life, as opposed to.
Okay, sorry. Keep going.
Daisy has a sister named Rosie.
How did you feel about their names? I wrote, oh, she's going to hate this. Because don't you hate the name?
They're flower names.
They're both flower names, and I don't think you like the name Rose.
I don't like the name Rose or Rosie. It's weird how many Roses and Rosies
that we've read.
Yeah. It comes up a lot.
It does. What was the name of the girl in the book we liked?
Rose.
Small Favors?
No, that was Ellery.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about the other book we liked.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Rose.
Okay.
Their mom has cancer, and it's really bad, and so Rosie...
works days.
And takes care of the mom while Daisy's at work. And then Daisy, because she works this afternoon shift, takes care of the mom in the evening. Chapter 4.
Yeah.
So it switches POVs.
Yeah. So we had a bunch of Rosie, and then surprise, surprise, we get Daisy. A Nate. Oh.
Yeah. Good try.
Nate.
We get a Nate. Yeah. So I just wrote that he gets knockoff dominoes and that his dad was a fighter and he was abusive.
His dad, yes. I also added, he comments, he's like, I don't know, does he interact with Daisy in this chapter? I don't know if he interacts with her, if he's just thinking about Daisy. But he says that Daisy is too serious, and that the only time she's ever smiled was when she actually had to do some security guarding. Like, something was happening that required them to guard.
Yeah.
And she was like, But other than that, she has never smiled in Nate's presence once. And they've been working there together for like 6 months or something.
I don't know how long.
It's been months. Okay. I don't know how many months, but it had definitely been months.
Yeah. So Nate's dad was like a boxer.
Yeah.
And was, yeah.
He was like pretty famous boxer.
Yeah.
In terms of at least
their town. He was like locally famous.
Yeah.
But yeah, he...
But he would come home and beat them.
Yep.
And then afterwards, he'd be really sweet to them. That's what I wrote.
So, chapter 5, Nate has a son named Ben.
And he is 10.
Yeah. And he has this ex-wife.
I thought that this was sweet. And every day, Nate goes to the ex-wife's house to eat breakfast with Ben and take Ben to school.
Yeah. Because, like, the ex-wife works earlier.
Yeah.
But then... He, like, hangs out with the son, and then he also, like, cleans the kitchen and, like, loads the dishwasher for her.
Yeah, like, he's very sweet.
Yeah.
It is important, too, like, I'm just thinking, I didn't write this down, but, like, Daisy, in reflecting about Nate, was like, he's got his life good, he's got his kid, he's got his family, and then we find out, like, so we're, you know.
Yeah.
We've been in her perspective of, like, Nate's just, like, perfect, and then we get to him, and he's like, nope.
Yeah.
I was abused.
Yep.
I'm divorced.
Yep.
And his son also is not really, like, into him right now.
Yeah. Which was so sad.
And and we also discover that Nate is black here.
I wrote, someone is black, maybe everyone. Because I think I had a thought where I was like, Lucia might be black.
Which is his wife, our ex-wife.
Yeah, and then... You know, their son is, like, half, and then Nate maybe isn't, but then I was like, no, I think they both are.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ex-wife is named Lucia.
But the reason why we discover this is because Ben really wants cornrows. Yeah. And he wants them to call him BZ. And Nate's like, why? And the wife's like, I think it's because it's, like, after Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And he, like, and the son says something about how he wants to, like,
yeah,
be more in his culture. And I was like, okay, he's black.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. Like, I don't know. It was good in that I feel like the author didn't, like, very heavy-handedly state it.
No.
It was just, like, implied through.
No. I agree.
Through things.
But I did question, like, Ben really dislikes Nate at this point, and yeah. I was like, you're 10. And I was like, that feels really young to me to be in so much dislike for your parent. I feel like you're still at that age where you love them.
I think it's, I think it might be a, like, divorce makes everything unstable.
Yeah,
it could be. And so then, you know.
I just was, like, thinking, and I was like, oh, I mean, I definitely, it's so hard for me to too. I think you would also be hard because we never really stopped disliking our parents.
Yeah, no, I didn't have a phase where I disliked my dad.
Yeah, me neither. But I'm thinking about my cousin who's 8, and I was like, I can't imagine her just, like, disliking my dad, or her dad, in 2 years. Because she's just, like, little and cute now.
I think it's also, another weird thing is I feel like it might be a British culture thing.
Maybe.
Like, because there's a lot of, like, boys' schools and things like that where it might be, like, don't. Unless you have a cool dad, then you can like your dad.
I just wish they had made him a little bit older.
Yeah.
It would have been more relatable to me.
Yeah.
But maybe there are other people who are reading this who are like, yeah, my dad, I hated him when I was
10.
In grade 3.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And then this, the football tickets. This was, like, so sad to me.
Like what? Okay.
So Nate get some football tickets, and he's like, oh, I can finally, like, take my son to do something fun. Football is in soccer, obviously.
Yes, and he gets his son every second weekend for the whole weekend. So he's like, on my weekend, I'm going to do
take
this.
Him, and we're gonna, and he's like, I would have been so excited about this
when I was a kid.
And then Ben just wants to play Fortnite. He doesn't want to go to a game. And he just, like, is really blunt about it to Nate. And Nate is just like, oh, okay. And then he kind of, like, gets Ben to agree to it, but I was just like, it was very real and very, like, ouchy for me. Like, I was like, don't be mean to your dad. Your dad wants to go to football with you.
I guess I can understand that, but I was also in very much like the, you, if you want to bond with your child, you do what your child wants to do.
I know.
Like, come on, Nate.
It just,
at the same time,
it was just a classic dad thing where the dad is all like,
he's so hyped about this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So chapter 6.
Wow, I like, mix up Rosie and Daisy a lot, even in my notes. Okay, go.
I wrote here that Daisy finds, like, a pamphlet that Rosie had gotten for, like, a hospice care.
And wrote, Daisy is unimpressed.
Yeah, she's real mad, because she, like, feels like it's their responsibility to, like, look after their mom and stuff.
But we also, I mean, they talk about the thing that happened when she was 9 again.
Yeah.
And she's, like,
there's a scar on Rosie's arm.
Yeah.
From the thing that happened.
Yes. And, like, Daisy has, like, basically, like, shrunkified her life because of it. She's like, I won't get married. I won't, like, find happiness because I am bad.
Yeah. And like, the next chapter, she gets called Crazy Daisy by some local youths. So it's, like, something that's known around town, apparently.
Yes. But, like, the whole, like, with the hospice stuff, she's like, we can't send my, like, I have to make up for the thing that happened when I was 9.
Yep.
I will never send mom to hospice.
Yeah, because...
Because...
I'm bad.
And I'm going to prove for the rest of the time that I'm good, but I'm not going to, like, jeopardize anyone else other than the people that already exist in my life, basically.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this thing?
I know.
he did a very good job of me being like, what could it be?
Right? Yeah. Like, I was like, what did she do? Like...
Yeah.
And, like, it's also revealed she wanted to be a police officer.
And she's like, I can't be a police officer because I am bad.
Yeah, because I'm crazy. And, like, I might just snap at some point. So then she ends up talking to Nate because there's a weaving shuttle that's missing.
She knows the museum will.
Yeah, so she's like, there's something missing, and it's a weaving shuttle.
Yes. What's a weaving shuttle?
It's, like, a thing. Like, imagine if you're, like, you've got the string, like, wrapped around a thing, and then you pass it, like, between the things.
Okay. So it's for sewing.
It's for, like,
making blankets?
Yeah.
Like big quilting.
Yeah, you would, like, go back and forth, like, on a loom.
Okay.
you would use a shuttle.
I don't know what chapter 8. There's going to be, like, this sleepover event at the museum.
Yes, which is a dumb name. I didn't write it down, but it was dumb. Yes. And they were, like, the staff were suggesting other names, and
there's, like, a lady who's like,
in charge of the stuff, and she's like, no.
No, this is, name. Yeah.
And it was, her name was not good. And then this must be a Nate chapter, because mm-hmm. we find out here that he's the one reading the book.
Yeah.
Because he's like, someone moved my bookmark.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't like figure it out. Like,
I know, it takes them a really long time.
But it feels like it would be so obvious if the bookmark is like
consistently
moving to where she was and then back to where he was. I'm like, there's only like three people in the museum that would have time to read this every day, and it's you three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you two or the other security guard.
Yeah.
So, like, come on.
Yeah.
But they don't figure it out. Okay. But also, he talks about going to, like, his dad's fight and experiencing racism for the first time. And, like, I just thought it was really interesting that they contrasted his childhood trauma as, like, a thing we're just going to get to find out mm-hmm. the whole way through. And hers was, like, we know she has childhood trauma.
But it was this big secret. Yeah.
And I just thought it was an interesting, like, decision that the author made for us to always get the insight into Nate's.
And it might be because Nate is more forthcoming.
Yeah.
Like, he's more open about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also wrote that, like, it was his dad, like, took him to a fight, and that was the night that someone died. I don't know who.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. His grandma was dying. His mom said,
You
have to take Nate to the fight. And then the dad's like, I don't want to take him to the fight. And the mom said, well, I can't take him to the hospital.
Yeah.
So he went to the fight. It was awful. He cried, and then his dad hit him for crying, and then he went home and found out his grandma was dead.
Yeah, and so his mother was, like, extremely distraught as well. Yeah, Nate didn't have a good time. Chapter 9?
Yeah.
So, Daisy investigates the missing shuttle.
I just wrote diligent patrolling.
Yeah.
But she can't figure it out.
And then she talks briefly about having the black dog. Do you remember this?
No.
Okay, she, like...
Oh, is this, like, the Harry Potter thing?
It feels...
The, like, what's that? The Grimm?
Sort of. It's similar to that. And so I feel like it must be, like, a British thing to talk about having the black dog on you. Because mm-hmm. she talks about it, and she's like, it's like a weight. It's like, it feels ever-present, and you can't get rid of it, and stuff like that. And I think it's sort of a mix of, like, of shame and something like that. Like, you just feel very heavy and bad. Yeah, so that, she talks about that, and then she also tells, there's, like, a skull.
At the museum.
Yeah.
Isn't it the skull of the,
guy.
The creator of the museum.
Yeah, it's, like, a guy who, like, donated a bunch to the museum.
Yeah.
And he wanted his skull there.
That was so his request.
His skull is there, and she, like, tells the skull about what happened when she was 9.
Yes.
But because, we don't know.
Yes, because she reads the book about Midas.
The
Greek one, which inspires her to tell the secret. I wrote it thinking, oh, okay.
Midas.
More things.
Yeah.
But really, it was literally just to inspire her to tell the secret to the skull. And I was like, what?
Yeah. chapter 10.
I really wish his son was 12 is what I write in chapter 10. I was really, I don't know. I really don't know what his son is doing, but I just was like, he was 12. And I was like, I guess it's because of the divorce. I wrote, I guess it's because of the divorce and that he's alone. But I was like, I wish he was 12.
Yeah, no, Ben tells Nate that he wishes that Nate was a detective instead of a boring old security guard.
Yes.
Like, he's like, why aren't you cooler?
Like, doesn't he say, like, Pikachu?
Yeah,
because like, Detective Pikachu. This is a pretty recent book.
Yeah, and I found it weird that he would, like that the author would choose to date it so succinctly. Like, he could have, I don't know, I feel like it would have been a better choice.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
To like, pick which is more like...
A timeless detective.
Yeah.
But as opposed to...
Pikachu detective? What was he? Was it Pikachu? I don't know.
Yeah, did you see this movie? It was Detective Pikachu. Chapter 11, the shuttle has returned magically.
And she doesn't care because Nate didn't follow protocol.
But she also doesn't care because she had an incident with the local youths.
Yes.
Like they're kind of harassing her. Like,
yeah. Well, they try to get her, throw dog poo at her or something.
Yeah.
But she stops, like...
They miss or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how. But yeah, she She's having a bad time. Like, it's when she's, like, getting on the bus to come to work or something. Yeah. There's just some kids that loiter around.
I think
around.
That they were, like, one of them snuck up behind her with dog poo, and he was gonna, like, put it on her back, but then she caught him, and yeah. he, like, ran away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she cries
yeah.
to Nate about all of this, and Nate's like, it's okay, like, the youth will stop, and she's like, that doesn't say to him, but her reason for crying is because she's not actually afraid of what the youth will do to her. She's afraid of what she'll do yeah. to the youth.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote exactly that. but, and she also, she tells Nate about this book and lends it to him.
In the most crazy way I've ever imagined people borrowing books for each other. it was something.
She, like, put, like, a little card inside that was, like, this belongs to Daisy, like, and return it.
You'd have to write your name in it, and he only had a week
yeah,
before he had to return it.
Yeah.
And if he didn't, he'd have to buy her
a new book. Yeah. Like, it was, like, I certify that I will buy you a new book if I mess this one up.
Yeah.
Chapter 12. One of the cameras has gone out at the museum, and,
Oh. Yeah. I found out the other security guard's name is Harold.
Harold. Okay.
It's because I wrote, I suspect Harold. Why did I suspect him? He's messing the camera at night?
That was your theory, I guess.
And actually doing a lot more patrolling than he lets on. But he's the person I most suspect, so it's probably not him, is what I said.
Because it's the person you middle suspect?
Yes. It's always the person you middle suspect. Daisy, we found out, is 5'4". In this chapter, which means he is 14 inches taller than her.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
He's, like, big.
Yeah. And, I mean, she's not small. She's average, but...
She's pretty average, but he is a tall man.
That was just a random side note. Okay, what actually happened in this chapter?
So Rosie's downloaded a dating app and is, like, gonna go...
For Daisy.
Yeah.
Or for herself. Maybe both.
I know. I think, like, Rosie does it first and then Daisy ends up doing it. And so... Daisy thinks about what happened with Darren, who's, like, the last guy she dated. And basically, she told him about the thing that happened when she was 9, yeah. and he was scared of her.
And he broke up with her.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm not dating again. I'm not putting myself through this.
Yeah. And then she notices Rosie has a drinking problem.
Because she just sees all of the empty bottles.
Yeah.
And she thinks it's Rosie's way mm-hmm. of coping with what's happening with mom, and
Daisy also thinks that Rosie's scared of her.
Yes.
And, like, that's driving her to drink.
I didn't think that was true. I think that was Daisy making things up in her head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the maybe she has a drinking problem.
Yeah. But I had
no thought that it was because of what happened to her as a child.
Yeah.
Because in my head, I was like, if she's so scared of you, she would have refused to help mom.
Yeah.
She would have refused.
Yeah.
So, no.
I also just, yeah, I didn't get the sense that Rosie was scared of Daisy at all.
No, exactly.
Like.
Ever, in any situation. Yeah. Sometimes she would rub her scarf, and Daisy was like, see, it's her
it's being afraid of me. It's because she's so scared of me. But I still didn't get the sense that she was.
Yeah, me either.
Chapter 13, Nate meets John, who is the ex-wife's new boyfriend.
That's right, I wrote it down. I said I didn't like him very much.
And I wrote, he thinks about how his abusive father died.
Yeah, I wrote, Nate recaps his parents dying.
Yeah, so he, like, the thing is that it was, like, the one time that Nate was, like, 18 or something, and mm-hmm. he, like, you know, his dad came home and was all, like, gonna beat up the mom or something, and Nate, like, stood up and was like, I'm gonna, like, defend.
Fight back.
Yeah, I'm gonna defend mom, and I'm gonna fight back. And then the dad just, like, dropped dead.
It's from a brain aneurysm.
Yeah. And Nate sort of, like, regretted almost that he never, like, punched his dad back.
Yes.
Like, he never did fight back.
Yeah. And his mom, like, forgave his dad for everything that happened because she was like, oh, he had an aneurysm all along. That's what caused his bad behavior.
Yeah.
And Nate, like, was like, no.
No.
I can't forgive him. I should have got that punch in.
Yeah. And so Nate carries, like, a lot of anger still.
Yeah. I had another thing about... Just, like, a comment about Lucia, mm-hmm. because Nate asks if Ben is okay with John.
Yeah.
And Lucia says, it doesn't matter. I'm dating him for me.
Yeah.
And I was really unimpressed with that. Like, I understand that you're dating him for, like,
I'm not dating him as a father to Ben.
No. Yes. But he is going to be around.
Yeah.
He is going, like, because she was, it was almost like she was trying to say it, like, and Nate liked it because he was like, oh, she's not trying to replace me. And I was like, she shouldn't be trying to replace you. But if you two get married, he will become your stepfather. That is how it goes.
Yeah.
So there is a level of, like, he does have to get along with Ben. It does matter how they interact. It does matter how John treats your son.
Yeah. I think, like, I think she just was more, like, you know, trying to convey to Nate that there was no new dad necessarily for, like, it was just a new person in her life. I don't know. I kind of appreciated, she was very encouraging of Nate, of just being like,
she was very encouraging.
You can do it.
Like, she was. I guess in that moment, and throughout the book, we actually do continue to discover, I felt like they were just dropping the ball on Ben.
Yeah. Which, yeah.
They do.
Yeah. Daisy goes to work to find there are electrical issues with the security cameras, apparently.
Yes.
And there's a missing gas mask.
Yes. And this point is when I began to suspect, her name is Seema, but she's
I wrote Seema.
Do you suspect her, or did you just
No,
write
I just,
name?
I wrote her name at this point too. So I guess both of us were like, oh, fine, she's relevant.
Who is the, she's not in charge of the museum, but she's basically in charge of the museum. Because, like, Daisy says, another item's gone missing. And she's like, yeah, items disappear all the time. And Daisy's like, well, you're, and she, then Daisy says that she's in charge of managing when items are being restored and, like, mm-hmm. whatever. And so, and Seema's just like, oh, it's probably out for restoration. And Daisy's like, well, is it?
Yeah.
And Seema's like, probably. And I'm like, why doesn't she know? It's so weird.
Yeah, that is sketch.
I mean, yeah, it was sketch.
So then she became the one you most suspected. Yes.
So now Harold is my most middle suspect. And then she, like, seems to imply while talking to the actual boss that, like, the security guards don't matter anymore. I don't really remember what I wrote, but I wrote, like, whatever she seemed to suggest was, like, that they were going to do away with security. But she doesn't want Daisy to hear. So it was, like, subtle. And I was like, more money problems.
And then also, I think it is at this point that Daisy finds the file.
It is. I wrote about
it. Okay. So, yeah, Daisy finds this file, because she, like, looks up the which is what's
And then
being
she
restored.
Sees this big envelope, and she's like, ooh, what's in there?
Yeah. And so
basically,
she,
one of those kind of situations.
Yeah. So she finds it, this thing that says they're going to get rid of the security guards.
Yeah, they're going to hire, like,
an independent firm or
that's
something.
That's cheaper or whatever. Yeah. And they'll just come and do random sweeps every once in a while. Which made me suspect Seema more, because I was like, now she's getting rid of security guards, so she can do more of her thieving.
Yeah. Yeah, so... And then Daisy almost tells Nate, but doesn't, I think, because she doesn't want to, like...
Because she's afraid that he might be the thief or something. She's
yeah,
like,
I don't
doesn't
know.
Fully
she suspects
trust him.
Everyone.
Yeah. It's kind of funny at this point, just realizing, like, they've not interacted.
They don't interact a lot. Like, they've kind of been individually doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Chapter 15, Daisy's mother ran away.
Yes. Because she found the brochure about the hospice.
And so she went to see it.
Yes.
So then Daisy's, like, really mad at Rosie, and...
threatens Rosie with whatever it was she did when she was 9.
I know. I wrote she threatens Rosie too.
Implying Rosie better not cross her.
Yeah.
Other, like it might happen again if you cross me.
Yeah. I wrote then arranges a date. I don't know who did.
I think Rosie must have arranged that date for Daisy that's coming up.
Oh, okay. I guess so.
I don't know. I mean, obviously they...
It's weird they were, like, fighting so hard, but apparently it's fine. I don't know.
I don't know either. Obviously it happened, and I don't remember thinking it was ridiculous. Neither of us wrote down that the transition was ridiculous, so...
Chapter 16, Ben the son is, like, such an asshole in this chapter.
Yeah. This is the chapter where they do the football game, right?
Yeah, so they...
They go to the football game.
Well, so, like, Ben is, like, playing Fortnite, and then Nate comes in and turns off Fortnite. And then the kid's like, you only like football because your dad hit you until you did, and you're going to do the same to me.
It was bad.
And, yeah, it was weird, and then...
And then he won't...
The kid also spills orange juice on Daisy's book.
And ruins it, yeah.
And Nate's, like, really upset about it, yeah. And then they just have, like, a bad time.
And then the kid's like, oh, can I go out, hang out with my friends? And it's, like, after dark. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Nate agrees. And I was like, Nate, your kid is 10 years old. Like, you should be in bed at, like, 8:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nate's not, like, really cluing in on the...
on parenting.
And I, at this point, when he goes out to hang out with his friends, I'm like, 100%.
He's in the gang yeah. that has been picking on Daisy.
100%.
Yeah.
So obvious.
Yep. Chapter 17.
Oh, I also just wrote, I don't know if he realizes this or if I was the one who made this a realization or wrote it down. He is failing with his son because he's so focused on not being his dad that he's not being a dad at all.
Yeah, and they talk about that more, but, yeah. like, it's...
I know that it's talked about, and I was like, did I realize this just before they say it, or was yeah. it talked about?
You must have figured it out, because they talk about it later, but yeah. I don't think it's at this point. Chapter 17, Nate has a date with this girl, Sarah, that, like, his ex-wife set him up with, and I wrote, it's awful, and he leaves.
I wrote that... He decides to move the postcard that they've been using as the bookmark mm-hmm. to the break office, room.
Yeah.
Because he thinks Daisy will like it. And I'm like, oh, Nate, you dummy. Idiot. She will not. And I wrote, Nate had a horrid date.
Yeah. Chapter 18, Daisy had a worse date.
She did. It was much worse.
Her date thought she was a prostitute. Yeah. So, like, Nate has to go, like, he sees her across the street. Like, they're at different places. But he sees her across the street having this weird, bad interaction with this creepy
and
man.
And he goes to, like, defend her.
Yeah. And so she cries. And he is nice to her again.
I also noted in this, so in this chapter, like, they both go on first dates. Like, mm-hmm. and I was like, it's interesting how he's, like, paralleling
their
lives.
Yeah.
Without either of them knowing that their lives are paralleling.
It's... Honestly, it's kind of similar to the shifts, like, to the fact that they are working these same shifts
yeah.
and not seeing each other, but yeah. their lives are way more similar than
they are different.
Yeah.
Like, so much of it was like that. Or, like, I mean, at this point, she realizes, or they find, that he's the one that's been reading the Greek book, and both of them are, like, so shook.
Yeah.
That the other would have been reading a book, and that it would have been this book, and I was just like, they're so similar. But because they're not speaking to each other...
They don't know
yet. They don't know yet.
Yeah. So, yeah, chapter 19, they go back to the museum. And then, so she ends up telling Nate that they're probably going to be fired.
Yes. She lets him in on her secret. And they're going to solve the mystery together.
Yeah.
Of who... And they think... Or she thinks if they solve the mystery, the museum will see how invaluable they are.
And then we'll keep them.
And he's like, I can tell my son I'm a detective.
Yeah. And maybe my son will like me.
Yes. And I said at this point, I'm like, I've concluded this book is a slow burn.
Yeah.
Because in chapter 19, they, like, had their longest interaction yeah. yet, which is, I mean, it was a pretty long interaction. Yeah. But, like.
It was also, like, a cute interaction.
It was.
And they also discover they live near each other.
Yes. More proof that Ben is in the gang.
Yeah. Yeah. So, chapter.
Because Ben does live with Lucia, except for Nate doesn't have a car, so he walks to. So they don't live far apart. Like,
yep.
They all live very close to each other.
Yep. Chapter 20.
Yeah.
So Daisy and Rosie talk about Nate, which turns into talking about their dad and what happened. Is this when they talk about what happened?
No.
Okay.
Because she doesn't say what happened. And she said, the first time she says it's to Nate.
Okay. Daisy deals with the boys being shitty. I don't know what they did.
I don't know. I can't remember what she did. She might have yelled that she is crazy or something.
Yeah. I don't know.
She thinks she grabbed the little boy's arm.
Yeah, and, like,
threatened
scary.
Him.
Scary.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But she points, she says that the little boy is black and Caribbean. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Nate is black and Lucia is Caribbean.
Yeah.
And I was like, obviously, Nate is going to take Ben to the overnight. And then.
She's going
to
realize it. And then, yeah. Yep.
It was, all of that was very predictable. Yeah. But what she did when she was 9, I had no idea.
Yeah.
So yeah. That was fun.
So Nate suggests a stakeout.
Yeah.
Is it while, like, Harold is sleeping? Like, they're going to go
yeah.
sneak in there?
Yeah.
Because Harold just sleeps.
Because the night of the horror mm-hmm. prostitute situation, they were close to the museum, so they went to the museum for her to, like, calm down.
Yeah.
And then Harold was asleep.
Yeah, so they're just like, Harold just sleeps.
So we'll just go back and do it again.
Yeah. Chapter 20. So they don't find anything on their stakeout.
No.
chapter 21, Lucia gets mad at Nate about the date going poorly.
Yes. I mean, it was about Nate. Because Nate talks to himself again. And I think he might have talked to Ben about how he's being a detective.
Yeah, and Ben thinks he's cool.
And I was like, oh, Nate, you can't do, this is not what's going to make your son love you.
Him being a detective is not the answer.
It's sweet that he cares so much, mm-hmm. but I was like, this is not what Ben needs. I was like, Ben needs, like, I wrote, to teach him, Ben needs a dad to put him in his place, one, because he's just letting Ben do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
He needs him to teach him to be a man, and he needs to teach him respect. And I was like, these are the things Ben needs. He does not need a detective for a father.
Yeah. And it is like, it probably is Nate has a fear of disciplining
yeah.
Ben because of the way his own father was. And so, yeah, so a teapot is missing
at the museum. The stakeout hasn't happened yet, by the way.
Okay. Oh, maybe he just suggested it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just,
yeah.
Okay.
Because the stakeout is when we find out what she did.
Okay. All right. Great.
So that's coming.
Yeah. So he tells Ben about that he's going to do the stakeout. And yeah. then Ben's all impressed. Okay. Also, at this point, Nate visits his parents' graves.
Oh, wow. I didn't write that. But
go yeah. on. He,
Isn't this when he, like, decides to forgive his father? He does forgive him, though.
Yeah. I don't think he's done it yet.
Okay.
Oh, no. I think he does. I think you're right.
Okay. I don't know why. What made him... Was it Rosie that, or Daisy? No. That What's her name again?
Daisy. Holy. Okay. All right. In chapter 21, Nate goes to forgive... to visit his parents' graves. And I think he does forgive his father at this point. And I think I also was like, where did this come from?
I mean, he still has more forgiving to do. He's not really mm-hmm. fully forgiven because we know what... We also know what else is coming and mm-hmm. he still has crap to work through.
Yeah. Chapter 22.
Okay. So, this is the day of the stakeout.
Yeah. So they meet for the stakeout, have drinks, and have a very nice time.
Yes. They hold hands and they hide from Harold, who is awake today.
Yeah. They hide under a banner and Daisy's like... So they're hiding under a banner because Harold's, like, around. And so they're like, oh, we gotta hide.
Yeah.
And they're there for, like, a long time.
Yeah. And she's, like, liking it because she's like, I'm never so close to another human. And she comments that her mom has not hugged her since the 9-year-old thing that happened. And in retrospect, knowing what actually happened, that's, like, really harsh on her mom.
Yeah.
Like, why did her mom decide to do that?
I don't... Her mom is... Her... The realization of how bad her mom is.
Yeah.
Is like, wow.
Yeah.
But
so she's holding Nate's hand and she's like, this is great. And so she's like, in her head, she's like, I'm going to tell him now.
So that
he doesn't, so that we don't go further down this path of feelings.
Yeah. And I get my heart broken.
Yeah. I'll just break it now.
Yeah. So she says, I stabbed my sister.
And then chapter 23 tells us the intimate details of it.
Yep. So Daisy was 9, Rosie was 7, and Daisy just stabbed her for no reason. That's, like, what Daisy says. Like, she's just like, yeah, I just turned around. Like, she was...
Well, like, mom was yelling.
Yeah.
Mom had just... The dad called, because we knew the dad was involved in this, yeah. And I was like, how is the dad... The dad calls the mom.
And is like, I'm leaving.
They've separated. Yeah. And so he used to come to visit, and now he's calling. He's saying, I'm not coming back. Mm-hmm. This is it.
Yeah.
And so they get off the phone. Daisy and Rosie are... Mom gets off the phone. Daisy and Rosie are fighting.
Daisy's washing dishes.
Yeah.
Daisy's washing dishes. Rosie, like, wants to go out and do something.
And they're just, like, bickering about the situation. And then mom starts, like, yelling, like, verbal abuse at them.
Yeah. And then...
And then Daisy stabs her.
Yeah, and like then that. Daisy just turns around and stabs Rosie in the arm.
So, like, it's not, like, a happy day.
No.
But there's no, like, and then Rosie, you know, punched me and I stabbed her. It's just, like, they were bickering, mom was yelling, stab.
Yep. And Daisy's like, I don't even remember it. I have no memory of it.
No.
I just was informed that I stabbed my sister.
Yeah.
And
I was like, immediately, I was like, Daisy, you... One, are not actually insane because of this. Mm-hmm. I don't even think it's that big of a deal.
But I can see how it drove her insane.
Yeah.
Being like, why did I do that?
Yes. That part. But the, like she couldn't become a police officer because of this? Yes, you could.
I know.
Like, you have to take a test. And if the police think you're mentally unfit.
Then you're mentally unfit. But you can take the test. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, you were a little girl that reacted to a horrible circumstance. Like,
yeah.
In the heat of a terrible circumstance.
Yeah.
Something terrible happened.
Yeah. It was so strange because, like, she tells this story and I'm like, as a reader, you're just as mind boggled. Like, why? You're like, why would you do that?
Yeah. And now she's like, Nate's going to hate me. And I was like, no, he's not. He's going to get over it.
Yeah.
I said it was an accident. She was 9.
Yeah.
You can't judge a grown woman on what someone did when they were 9.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, her ex-boyfriend, I guess, like, that whole, why did she do it? Is she going to do it again?
Yeah.
But the fact that she did it one time and has
you know, managed to resist the urge to stab again.
Yeah. Like, I would, if you told me that you had stabbed Sam when you were 9 and he was 6. I'd be like, weird.
Weird story.
Thanks for telling me, but I would not be worried that you were going to stab me now.
Anytime I'm around a knife, you're like,
Better watch out.
Yeah.
And so we find all of that out, and then the stakeout ends, and they didn't catch the culprit.
Yeah. Chapter 25.
Yeah. Oh, what about Nate's chapter 24?
I wrote, for chapter 24, I literally wrote, Nate goes to work tired, but into Daisy, he sleeps and dreams. I have no idea. Like, that's not interesting to me.
Okay.
Did something interesting happen?
Well, his nightmare was about his father, though. Oh, it was a nightmare about his dad, but that's all I wrote.
Okay, maybe I...
And he also said he has never had chemistry like what he had holding Daisy's hand.
Yeah. Now chapter 25.
Okay.
I wrote, there's more cancer.
Mom is more sick.
Yeah.
And Mum knows that Daisy came home to repent for stabbing. That's what I wrote. I'm sure that's not how it was worded in the book. And I was like, she just doesn't need to repent from this. I'm like, I feel so bad for you, Daisy.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah, so I wrote Daisy and Nate have an awkward interaction. And I think it's because, like, Daisy thinks she blew it and Nate's still into her.
Yeah, like, Daisy assumes that Nate is scared of her. They have this weird interaction where she assumes that and kind of suggests that, and he doesn't tell her otherwise.
Yeah.
And so now she's like, I've confirmed it, and she's like, Nate's bad. Oh, yeah. I'm miserable.
And I think it's because Nate, like, doesn't even really think this is something that he should have been like, I have to stop liking you now.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
Yeah.
And then we also find out that Janice is into Nate at this point. Mm-hmm. And, like... And scoffs at the idea that Nate would be into Daisy.
Yeah.
And then Daisy, like, is crestfallen.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, as Mariah predicted, Daisy figures out that Ben, Nate's son, is one of the kids.
Yeah.
And I wrote, I knew it. And I was like, what did I know? And then I got to the part that I knew.
Yeah. It's the sleepover. Nate and Daisy hang out. I really think he's okay with the stabbing thing. Because they hang out totally normal.
Yeah.
Like, nothing, like,
he is okay with the stabbing.
Yeah, but she still doesn't know if he is or not. I'm like,
yeah.
If he wasn't, he would have talked to you or something.
Yeah.
He would have changed.
He would have avoided you.
Yeah. Or he would have changed the way he's behaving around you.
Yeah.
But then we find out that Ben is the kid.
Yep.
And Nate is pissed.
Yeah. So Nate, like, yells at Ben, and then he, like, seems like he's going to hit him.
You know, draws his hand back.
Yeah. And then Ben gets all upset and Lucia comes to pick him up.
And Ben says, like, in this whole argument, he's like, I want to be in this gang because, like, this gang of kids because they're more of a family than you and Mom are.
Yeah.
Which is true. Like,
in
the fact of, like, how bad parents Nate and Lucia have been.
Yeah. And so then Nate and Daisy go up to the roof and have a talk because they're recovering from this big kerfuffle.
Yes.
And this is where the line comes. This is my favorite line in the book.
Yeah.
And it was, sometimes it's not enough to know what we shouldn't do. We have to know what we should do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often a lot more difficult, which is for both of them, you know? Like, Daisy's so obsessed with not randomly stabbing someone that she doesn't do anything else.
Yeah.
Like, she's just, like, so focused on
She's like, take care of Mom, go to work, sleep.
Yeah.
Take care of Mom, go to work, sleep.
Like, she can't be anything else. And he is the same. Like, he's like, I can't be my dad, and he's nothing else.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not his dad.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, like, I did think it was really cute that they had the same
journey that they were on together. Like, that was nice romantic thing.
I have where I took issue, though. I said at the beginning, I took issue with something. I just don't know what it was. This is what it was. So in this whole experience, she says that to him, and they're like almost going to kiss. And mm-hmm. he tells her about his abusive dad, and they're opening up. And I said, I'm worried that they are going to solve their childhood trauma by falling in love with each other, which is bullcrap.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is not how you solve childhood trauma. It cannot be healed by loving someone else.
I think I would argue that they could, like, I don't feel like they've talked to each other quite enough about their own traumas to do it, but it feels like they might be able to see in each other, like, what needs to be done and then make the change in their own life, you know? Maybe. But, yeah, just falling in love in general is not
the solution to it. Yeah, I just started to go, oh my gosh, is the lesson of this book going to be
fall in love and then you...
If it basically is a lesson that if you are broken, find a partner.
Yes. Don't fix yourself. Don't fix it on your own. You need someone else to do it for you.
And I just was like, I don't want that to be the lesson.
Yep. I feel like it could be earned here, though. Like, they're not... It's not unsalvageable where I'm like, there's nothing that they could possibly do that would be... Like, it would just be a cop-out kind of thing.
Yeah. I guess I was hoping, like, that they... Not that they can't fall in love. Mm-hmm. I was just hoping that...
They would do personal work and then fall in love.
Yeah, or that by the end of the book, they're in love, but they also recognize that they're not...
That they still have work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I can't remember how it ends. Me either. We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out if they did that. Yeah, chapter 28. So, Nate goes and tells the gang kids to leave his son alone. And I wrote, makes peace with his father and himself.
I wasn't impressed with how he made peace with himself. I wrote, Nate is cured. And I was like, oh, darn it.
I know. I think it's because he went to the, like, he went to the gang guys and was all like, I'm scary man. You know? Like, he used his... And I feel like it was supposed to represent him using, like, his intimidatingness for good.
For good. And then he has a dream that his dad wants to hug him. Mm-hmm. And then Daisy's like, I think maybe you need to hug your dad.
And then he does.
And then he, like, goes maybe back to the grave?
I think he must, and yeah. And
it's like, okay. Yeah. I will embrace you, father. And now he's fine. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... Maybe... I know of people who have gone through childhood trauma healing.
Yeah.
And it takes months and months of, like, and he was, like, two experiences, and he's like, ah.
I think it also, the experience with Ben, where he was like, I'm going to hit Ben in anger, but he didn't.
Yeah.
I think that also was part of, like, him realizing, I'm not going to hit my son. Uh-huh. Like, even at maximum angry, I'm not going to hit him. That's not who I am. It does feel like he's like, yep, I'm cured. I fixed it. But maybe this is just the first step on a journey.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's call it a first step because he's not fixed.
Yeah. So chapter 29.
Oh, the only other thing I wanted to say about, because this is a man writing women, mm-hmm. I did not think he did a good job writing Janice.
Yeah.
I wrote, she's kind of pathetic and desperate and just not woman to me. Like,
yeah.
I again.
She felt like a caricature.
She just felt like a caricature.
Nice. Sick. Pow-pa-chow cow.
And I was not impressed. And I was like, you could have given her something that made her, like.
Made her a human as opposed to just empty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chapter 29.
Yeah.
Daisy goes shopping with Rosie. Rosie wants to, like, go to Spain. Basically, like, Rosie wants to move on with her life.
Yeah, she's been dating this guy this whole time we didn't tell y'all about.
Whatever.
But he's moving to Spain. She wants to go with him, and Daisy's like, you cannot go there because mom.
Yeah, you have to take care of mom. And Rosie's like, well, we can get, I don't know, we can put the mom in a home and blah, blah, blah. And then there's this respite worker. I don't know why there's a respite worker at this point.
Well, they go shopping. That's how the respite
worker. Oh, the respite workers. Okay. And then the respite worker has found, like, whiskey bottles.
In mom's room.
Yeah.
And that's when it's discovered.
That mom has a serious drinking problem.
Do you think that mom has a serious drinking problem and Rosie's actually fine?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Rosie does drink.
Like, but Rosie was hiding it from Daisy, purposefully.
Like, Rosie drinks wine.
No. Sorry, I mean, Rosie was hiding Mom's alcoholism from Daisy.
Mm-hmm. I think Rosie is more susceptible to kind of, like, she's enabling Mom more. Yeah. Like, knows more, because they have a weird relationship because of what happened.
When Daisy was 9.
Yeah. So, I think we'll get into that in a sec. So, in chapter 30, Mom's been drinking whiskey. Because I think, is Daisy mad at Rosie because she thinks Rosie's been letting the Mom drink whiskey?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then...
Well, because Rosie supplies it.
Yeah.
And she's like, why are you supplying Mom with whiskey?
Like, it's not good for her cancer. Like,
she's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just enable her.
Yeah.
And Rosie's like, I have to.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, and Daisy's again against sending the Mom to a home, even though, like, Rosie is like, please. Chapter 31.
You know what I think is the problem that I have? Is just, it all's happening too fast. Mm-hmm. And maybe that, like, if the three things that had led him to...
To his thought process.
With his dad had happened over months.
Yeah.
But it was, like, 3 days. And now, the next chapter, Ben is, like, happy with his parents. And I was like, literally, like, it's been a week.
Yeah.
Like...
No, it's resolved.
It's resolved. Ben is now good with his parents.
Yeah.
And there was another parallel. They both get new underwear for the staff party. But neither of them know they both got new underwear.
Yeah. So there's a staff party also. I wrote that Nate kisses Janice at this.
Yeah, they go to this. Well, Janice kisses Nate.
Yeah.
So Daisy sees Janice and mm-hmm. Nate kiss and she runs away.
Yeah.
And the reason why she decides to come to the staff party, we find out in the next chapter. So there's a bit of like time travel. Like,
yeah. Time weirdness.
Yeah. Weirdness happening here because she, yeah. I don't remember why she decides not to go to the staff party. She decides she doesn't want to be happy.
And Rosie's then, like, it's time to tell her. Tell you.
Yeah. And then it cuts to Nate and she's gone to the party. She sees Janice and Nate kissing and she's like, I'll never be happy. She runs away. Mm-hmm. And then time goes back for us to find out
why she thought she should never be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ready for what actually happened? I feel like you guys have probably figured it out by now. Daisy didn't stab Rosie.
No,
Mom stabbed Rosie. Which sounds, like, insane. But yeah, like, Mom was, you know, had just found out that Dad was not going to be in the picture. Like, you know, she was going to be single parenting. Rosie was being really annoying and, like...
And she just stabbed her in anger.
And she still had a drinking problem at that age and was really drunk that day.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just, like, took a knife and stabbed Rosie.
And then told Daisy, if you don't take the fall for this...
She said that to Rosie. She didn't tell Daisy anything. She did, like, because Daisy passed out immediately.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Daisy passed out immediately and then woke up and they were like, you did this.
Okay, right. So, like, Mom says to Rosie, we need to tell Daisy she did this.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, they'll take me away from you.
Yeah.
You won't have a mom and guardian, and you just lost Dad. So you better do everything to make sure I don't go.
Yeah. So, like, Rosie knew all the time that it wasn't Daisy who had stabbed her. Like, she knew that Mom had stabbed her.
Yes.
And she knew that they were letting Daisy believe this. And, like, I think Rosie, like, hoped that Daisy would forget and, like, that it wouldn't impact her life as much.
But in the previous chapter, mm-hmm. they talk about Nate and Daisy's like, I just don't deserve happiness. And Rosie's like...
You do.
And but Daisy's like, I stabbed you. I don't deserve happiness. And Rosie's like, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, like, you didn't stab me. Yeah. You know, Mom's going to die any second now. Like, you didn't stab me. She did.
Oh. I wrote about Prometheus here.
Oh.
Did I connect these dots or did the book connect these dots?
I feel like you did.
I wrote, she was punishing herself every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is relevant, actually.
Like Prometheus for a crime that she never committed.
I mean, but Prometheus didn't commit a crime. But yeah, it was...
Then she pukes a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, and then decides to go to the staff party.
Because she's like, I do deserve happiness. I'm going to get my man.
Mm-hmm. But then the man is taken by Janice.
And then she flees.
Yes. But yeah, it was that level of, like, it's so interesting. Like, Nate's abuse was so obvious, you know? Like, mm-hmm. it was a dad punches boy. But this was, like, just weird, weird level of
abuse. It's like that abuse of, like, you know, those people who trick their kids into thinking they have cancer.
Yeah.
So that the kids are, like, dependent on them.
Yeah. It really was, like, I don't know. It was, like, mom is not good.
No.
And just the fact, like, it blew my mind, like, that Rose, or that Daisy had lived her whole life just, like, based around this fact and then finds out it's a lie.
Yeah.
Like, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Chapter 34?
Yeah. I didn't like chapter 34. I only wrote two things.
They confess their love and kiss. They bang at the museum.
I wrote, he says to Daisy, or maybe in his own head, that an individual can only fix themselves so much that they need a partner to fix them the rest of the way. And I hate it.
Yeah, that was.
Because that's not true.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's, you can, I think that you can say that having a partner can help fix you. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous to say that you can't fix yourself.
Yeah, it is absurd. And that, you know, it is funny. Like, I was like, no, it's okay. This message is going to work out. But that, if I remember them saying that.
Yeah.
And so that's not the right message.
It's a bad message.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Also, Nate has solved the mystery of what's going on in the museum, in case anyone's curious.
So many they did have a lot of plots in there. The Ben and the
And
the mom.
There was a lot going on.
The thievery.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Chapter 35. It turns out Harold has been taking stuff because his wife has Alzheimer's, and so he, like, brings old items because it, like, triggers her memory.
He was doing it to help his dementia. Very sweet. Also illegal.
Yeah.
And then Harold's wife used to know Daisy's mom.
Yeah.
I was like, that's an interesting turn of events.
I know. Well, then what happens is that
mom and dementia wife are going to go live in the hospice together as friends.
Yeah. And then also, like, Harold is going to live nearby.
Because he's going to sell his huge house that's worth millions of dollars.
Yeah. To, like, be there. And then.
And then Rosie's going to get to move to Spain and Daisy's going to move in with Nate.
And everything is kind of really magically good. Because, Daisy and Nate are both out of work, but they're just like, it's fine.
I said it was so stupid because they said they're going to become museum detectives together.
I know. I was like, that's so dumb.
I was like, they are unqualified because they have not been trained to be. Like, there's no such thing as museum detectives. What they're wanting to be is police officers that specifically deal in museum theft.
Yeah.
Like, you just need to go become
other security guards, but
and I also, like, their credentials is, like, that they solved this museum detective mystery, and the only reason they did was because Nate knocked Harold's bag out of his hand and saw
the stolen thing.
Yeah. Like, it's not like they were suspecting Harold and
no, they didn't.
It was completely on accident that they uncovered it.
And then they just, like, go to Greece as if the Greek stories mattered. And, chapter 37, I wrote, cute book, very stupid ending.
Yeah.
Like, that part was stupid. I didn't mind that Harold was stealing things, and I don't know, like, overall, it was weird.
The fact that Harold was stealing and, like,
That was fine.
That was fine. It was just
the museum detective thing.
That they were going to become museum detectives.
Were just, like, fine with, like,
being. Because in Greece, they were at a museum and something got stolen. They're like, ooh, let's make a job out of this.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is so stupid.
Yeah.
Clearly, she should have gone to police school. That's how this book would have ended. Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing that Daisy says, just in the vein of hating the lesson this book had to teach us.
Yep.
She says that the people that are meant to heal us could be hiding right in front of us and we would never know. And I was like, why? Why can't you just say, like, the whole point, like, there was this message about, like, Nate was right in front of her all along and she didn't know. Mm-hmm. But why couldn't it just be Nate was all in front of me all along? And I didn't know. And look, we fell in love when we started to talk.
Yes.
Why did it have to be, we fell in love, and he healed me?
I know.
Why couldn't it just be, and he didn't really heal you. Finding out the truth is what healed you.
Yeah.
He was just there for it.
I know. He didn't, like, do, like, I wonder if partially the fact that he didn't care about it.
Helped.
Helped.
But that's ridiculous because she only told one other person in her whole life.
The thing is, I feel like this book was so strong if it hadn't fucked up the mess, like the written on the page message at the end.
Yes.
If they had skipped that part and just had like the implied message, I think it would have been really good.
And that's what I said. Like I said when I was worried that they were going to go in that direction, just don't go in that direction.
Just don't.
And then they laid it all out right there for you. And it wasn't implied anymore.
It was
that was the direction
out.
He took.
Yeah. And the author was just like, yep. You have to find another person to heal you.
I wonder if the author is single. He's like, I'm
my life. As soon as I find someone, I'm going to get better from all this childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Are we going to rate him?
No, because we don't rate them.
Okay.
We only ever rated one man writing
men.
And we then stopped ever since then.
Yeah, because we learned our lesson.
But we talk about it.
Yeah, as if we were going to rate them.
But we don't rate him.
Okay.
So it gets lost in...
Yeah. Okay, so...
Is he the most attractive man in fiction?
No. Was he kind of nice? Like, he was definitely a very nice man.
Yeah. I feel like he is, like, a friend zone.
Yeah, he's a friend zone kind of man.
He's below Jonah. I think he's below Anthony Bridgerton. Like, who's Luke? Luke was evil, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, not evil, but, like, he did mean things to the girl he was with. So then he's the number. I would put him between them, probably.
Yeah.
But was he really more attractive than Callias?
You just have very fond memories of Callias.
I know. Because Callias was supposed to be sexy.
And he was not, is the thing.
So then I think then he can go between 9 and 10.
Yeah.
If he were being on the list.
Yeah. Under Anthony. But above Luke, who... Luke was the one who killed children.
It killed all the children,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, above Luke.
It's... Hilarious. This list. Check us out on our website, womenwritingmen.com, or look at our Instagram.
Did you say Patreon already?
No. Check out Patreon as well. If you want to help support the podcast, or you want to recommend us books, or whatever, you can check us out on Patreon. Yeah, that's all, I think. Bye!